Welcome back to Preps KC's Football Friday Night, driven by the McCarthy Auto Group. I'm your host, Dion Clisso, joined as always by the coach, Harold Wamsgans. And a program like this wouldn't be possible without a great partner like KFC and their catering program. Feed your team, feed your booster club, have your postseason banquet, all catered by KFC. Go to PrepsKC.com or on the Preps KC app. Click on the KFC icon, and they will have all the information there to reach out and find out about their great catering program. And we thank them for all they have done this year to support high school football in the Kansas City Metro. Let's go ahead and get back into the football and bring in our friend Nick McCabe. And Nick, seasons are ending. We're in the district final phase on the Missouri side. We're getting going. Everybody's in playoffs on the Kansas side. We're also really getting close to the awards season. Things are starting to heat up in that sense. And I know here in just a little bit, we're going to have our media committee getting together to start that process. It's a lot of work, but it's also getting fun, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a fun time of year where we get to figure out who the best player in the metro area is, and a lot of other awards as well. And we recognize a lot of kids. We end up getting to recognize some 50 kids usually for their outstanding efforts on the football field this year. And this is one of the more fun weekends. We got a lot of really good games on the schedule. There's nothing but pretty good teams left, and so it's always fun when we get to this time of year.
When you look at the list of the 50 semifinalists over the five awards, I have a question for you. How does the committee go about determining what are the factors that are involved in determining who the 10 semifinalists are in each of the five categories?
Well, so what we end up doing is there's 12 of us, and we get in a room and we just kind of hash it out. We gather a lot of stats and information ahead of time before we ever get in the room, and then once we're all there, we just kind of talk amongst ourselves, and ideally we've got somebody in the room that has seen every single one of those players that we're considering. There's usually some 20 guys or so that we're looking at for those 10 spots after we gathered nominations from coaches and just taking 20 or 25 guys that have had outstanding seasons for each of those awards, we kind of go through and we do a verbal count on everybody that we think is a 100% for sure lock, and so we go, hey, you know, who doesn't think Dalvin Wormack is a Simone finalist? And we all say, well, we all do. So he's just automatically through to being one of the 10. We usually end up with 6-7 guys usually that are those locks for those 10 spots. And then we write down, we do a ballot, and we vote on it and count them. And if you voted for a guy, that counts for a certain amount of points depending on what position you ranked him in. And we tally those up, and that's how we end up with our 10 guys. And a lot of times, you know, it's a really tough call between spots 10 or 11. And we all kind of end up with a little bit different opinions on how we rank maybe guy 7, 8, 9, and 10. It's sometimes somebody's left just barely on the outside looking in, and that's tough. But we really strive to make sure, you know, our main goal is to make sure that among those 10 semifinalists that we've got the four guys that coaches and the voters as a whole, including our media committee, that those people will acknowledge as the four best. We want to make sure we have those top four finalists among the 10. That's our main goal, and certainly we want to make sure that we've got the guy that everyone would consider to be the best qualified to win that award among those 10. So that's kind of our main objective, and that's kind of how we do it.
Well, and I know, you know, each voter has their each media person has their own kind of, you know, things they look at. I know for me personally, you know, it's a little bit of everything. You know, it's not a career achievement award, but sometimes people's career numbers, if they've done something spectacular in their career and they've wrapped it up their senior year, even if that senior year maybe hasn't been as strong as other years, that goes in my mind a little bit, not as much as other things. Then there's some guys who, you know, may not have 1,000 yards in anything, you know, rushing or receiving, but yet their impact is huge. They play both sides of the ball. That's something to look at as well. And then also, too, what's their overall impact on their team and how has their team success been? And so those are some factors you weigh in. It's not a cut and dried, well, if you got to have 1,500 yards or you got to do this. It's, you know, it's a subjective thing, and that's the reality of it. And every year there's some blowback. There's some people who don't agree. I think we do a pretty good job of getting the 10, and like Nick says, do a really good job of making sure that the four are in there. And, you know, there's been some years. We just started releasing the ballot last year, and I think that helps the people to see how the 10 go to 4. And I think that's a big thing there. But, you know, there's been some years before we released the ballot that people didn't even know about. And I bring up the same year over and over. Evan Bames' senior year, Connor Harris was on that. You know, Evan Bames in the NFL. Connor Harris had tryouts in the NFL. He came in right behind Evan. But on that list of 10, there's a guy by the name of DeAndre Hall at Blue Springs. And he was in there, and he probably was 9 or 10, I think, when the voting was done. Nick, you'd know better than I was. That's a guy who played in the NFL. That being said, his ability to project out into the NFL or even in Division I football doesn't really matter in my mind. It's what they do on the field on Friday nights and what they do all throughout the season and the impact they have.
Well, it's totally, you're exactly right. It's an objective deal, and everybody's process is a little bit different. It's a lot like the Heisman Trophy in that way. You know, do you pick the best player on the best team? Is it a most valuable player? Is it a most outstanding player? Is it a guy who you think just had the most raw talent and maybe projects as a stud at the next level and perhaps beyond? You know, everybody's criteria is a little bit different. Where everyone comes from is a little bit different. We try and have different regions represented on the committee. You and I are kind of citywide guys. We don't necessarily have a particular region we favor, but some guys, particularly our writers, cover more regions of the city rather than the metro area as a whole. And so, you know, for every one of those guys that we have from Independence, we try and have a guy that covers Johnson County, and we try and have a guy that covers the Northland, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, everybody kind of brings their own regional bias to the thing as well. And so we try and make sure that gets balanced out on the committee. And so, you know, it just it becomes a subjective thing, but we try and have enough people. That's why we have 12 people, and that's why we have well over 100 coaches overall. We get back close to 100 ballots every year. And so, you know, once you take all of that into consideration as a whole, I think we end up with a pretty fair process. Yeah, sometimes a guy that you think deserved to win the award will complain to me. And you know, once we're past that 10, you know, I feel some responsibility for the 10. But once we get to the who's the finalist and who's the winner, I don't feel like I have much control over that. We don't, in fact, have much control over that, other than then I have 1/10, you know, 1/100th of the vote. If we end up getting 100 ballots, I have a vote, so I voted for one guy. But, you know, I can't make coaches vote for whoever they want to, and I wouldn't want to. So, you know, once it gets to that point, it's kind of in the voters' hands, and we try and have it be a fair and democratic process. And sometimes there's a year where there's not much argument over who wins it, because it was a race that you know, that was pretty much a foregone conclusion. Skylar Thompson's senior year, for instance, the Dalvin Warmack senior year. Those guys were pretty much slam dunk type guys. But then there's other years like last year. It was a little more cut and dried. It was a little less cut and dried, a little more wide open. And I think this is one of those types of years where a lot of different guys could end up winning it. And the timing of the voting and the ballot, you know, last year we had a kid from Harrisonville, for instance, that they made a run to the playoffs that nobody really saw coming to a state championship. And they ended up having a kid that, you know, on December 1st, you go, yeah, he's one of the best small school players in the city. But at the time we voted, nearly a month earlier, you know, he wasn't necessarily a guy that had been, you know, they didn't have as great a regular season as they did in the playoffs. They really figured it out in the postseason. So the timing of it is a factor as well when you perform well.
The credibility of the finalists in all 10 of those, all 5 of those categories has a lot to do with the tremendous number of man hours that you guys put in to determine those 10 people, and that's a credit to you, and that's added credibility to all 5 of the awards, without a doubt.
Well, yeah, you're right, and I think, you know, it does take a lot of hours, and we have a lot of people that donate a lot of time to making sure that we have as fair and democratic a process as we possibly can, And I think we've made a lot of progress in that regard over the last 10 years or so. The media committee is probably in year 5 or 6, and that's really added a layer to this process that I do think gives it a little bit of credibility. But, you know, as the thing, it's become more and more popular. It's more looked upon. People know about it more than they ever have. And so with that comes a little bit of extra critiquing of who necessarily was a winner and a nominee. And so, you know, we invite that. We want people to be passionate about it, and that we want people to care. And, you know, if I never heard disagreement on who was a winner, who was the finalist, then that would mean people didn't care. And so the fact that we do that, that just means that the people are invested in the award and are passionate about it.
Yeah, that's no doubt. If you're not hearing anything, then nobody cares, and you probably don't need to do it anyway. Well, Nick, again, it's that time of year. We always appreciate kind of going through and breaking it down for people who don't know or don't remember how it goes. And we will chat with you again next week, and we'll probably have a better idea of who those names are next week.
Looking forward to it.